blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 229, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Blessed they who in thy house abide. They still to thee shall render praise. Blessed they who in thy strength confide, and in whose hearts are Zion's ways. Though passing through a vale of tears, like springs of joy, thy grace appears. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 229. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, the third chapter. Habakkuk chapter 3. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through his staves, with his staves, the head of his villages. And they came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer the relatives of Elder John Van Wingerden from Sunnyside, who passed away on Friday. Also, Riley Rosendahl, whose surgery was postponed, and Mrs. John Van Sluis, who had a surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, who dwellest above, and according to whose counsel everything is taking place in this world, and that we have heard also of him who has been taken away out of the midst of his family, out of the midst of his congregation, where he has served for so many years. and it has become for him eternity. And he has stood before his judge. There he had to lay down his office in this world. And there he had to give an account of that threefold office that we have received in our creation. And Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou art the giver of that life that never dies. Wilt thou remember his family and the congregation whom he has left behind? They are still in the land of the living, but there is a mourning and there is a missing. But that it also may be sanctified, that there may come a missing of thee. And Lord, wilt thou give that we also may have hearts to understand, because the time that is fast approaching for us and for our children, that we also must stand at that great judgment seat. And what shall it be for us to give an account of our creation, wherein thou hast said, behold, it was very good, and we have corrupted everything. Oh, how shall we stand at thy judgment seat when thou art so holy and thou art so righteous and so just? Oh, then it cannot be that we can be received outside of thine only begotten Son. Oh, how shall we need thee there? Oh, how shall we need a mediator, a surety, one to speak for us, one to stand for us, one to have paid our price? Oh, give us in our lifetime understanding hearts, that we may see our great need, that we might learn to abhor ourselves, and that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Oh, leave us not over to ourselves, but give us an impression, Lord, an impression in a day of grace that may cause us to turn from our iniquity and to seek the Most High God. Oh, that thy dear Son, that he may become so necessary, that he may become so precious and so suitable in our own hearts personally. May it be not only the first time, but also by renewal. Look upon thy children. Oh, thou knowest the place where they are. And thou knowest the condition also of that new life. Oh, Lord, wilt thou come in the poor days in which we live with our children, and give thy people to return again from the ways of backsliding, from the ways of the service of sin, and from following after the carnal things. Oh, that their treasure may be in things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, that it may be a people who may be an example in the midst of the congregation of that seriousness which is fitting for our life as we are travelers to a never-ending eternity, and that others also may be drawn to seek that blessing that we cannot do without on our journey as we go to our long home. O Lord, come, to whom else shall we go but unto Thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we can read it in Thy holy word, and that we are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins, and we are not able to lift one finger toward our own salvation. O our hearts, they are in rebellion against Thee, and we are lovers of the world, and Satan has become our father. Oh, that Thou would come from Thy side on this Thy holy day, and send forth Thy Spirit for the awakening of sinners. Oh, for the conversion of the unconverted, and cause the cry to go forth in the midst of this world, that there may come a separation from all the vain things, and that there may come an honesty and an uprightness within our own soul before the omniscient God, a true confession of all our iniquities, that we may no longer try to hide it from Thee, but that we may have an impression that it is all naked and open before Thee, with whom we have to do. Oh, give us to confess who and what we are before Thee, and truly to become the sinner before God. Lord, work what we cannot work, do what we cannot do, and wilt Thou come to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember then Thy own church. Comfort those that are fearful. Rebuke those who are walking in sinful ways. Draw those who have fallen fast asleep. And wilt Thou so visit us with undeserved blessings from above? Oh, look upon us in and through Him in whom Thou art so well pleased. And wilt Thou give Him that reward that Thou hast promised Him, and that seed that should serve Him, beginning here below in imperfection, And ending in eternity. Lord, wilt Thou remember all the afflicted ones? Comfort then all those that mourn, and remember all the widows, widowers, and orphans, and those that go over this life alone, in all the afflictions and in all the needs and cares in this world. Oh, give us to bear the burdens of one another in our secret chambers, but also with those tokens that may be felt in this life, and that especially Thy presence, that it may be experienced, Thy nearness, that it may be felt, and that Thy salvation may be known. Wilt Thou remember our children, the boys and girls and the young people, in this day and age in which they must grow up? Oh, it is their lot to be in a day wherein the devil is so experienced, to come as an angel of light and to deceive on every side. And then especially under the color of religion and under the color of the truth, Lord, oh, our hearts, they are so deceitful and they are so desperately wicked. And so it is also with our children. Oh, then we are inclined only to error, and our flesh, and that loves an easy way. But wilt thou instruct in thy truth, and wilt thou bring them, even in the days of their youth, to understand? Oh, give them to see who and what they are, and who and what thou wilt be. For a wretched and an undone sinful creature, and that they may be drawn in the days of their youth to remember their Creator, remember the principals and the teachers in our school. Oh, strengthen them, uphold them from on high, and give strength and diligence and faithfulness and much of thy fell presence and nearness and the fear of thy holy name. O, teach us together to walk according to thy statutes and thy commandments, and to seek thy blessing. Wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted in the body or in the mind, be it with that little child, who was to have surgery, but it was not possible, and now it has been extended. Lord, wilt thou remember and uphold and strengthen him and his parents together? Oh, bring them also upon their knees in their secret place. And oh, may this way be to the drawing of their own souls. Lord, remember her that has received that surgery. Wilt thou give her a thankful heart that thou hast thus far made all things well? Strengthen her further and heal her in the body. And oh, give that all that may be afflicted may look upon to thee for all things necessary. For this life, but especially for another. And therefore, Lord, remember us this morning. Oh, we are before it again. It is thy blessed, it is thy holy day. And what a wonder that we may be together in thy house of prayer again. Oh, there may be a people in our midst for whom the week that has been too long, and that may be so glad in this morning that they may come up into thy house of prayer. All that thou thyself may fulfill that desire with a visit from above. But Lord, there are also many who come out of form and custom. Oh, what makes us to differ? Oh, could it please thee to give that longing and that desire for the first time in their life. Oh, wilt thou make this a blessed place, Lord, this morning, when thy Spirit will come in this thy house of prayer. Oh, then it shall be felt. What a blessed service is the service of the Lord. Oh, then our guilt shall lay upon us. Then we shall become sorrowful that we serve thee not. O Lord, we beseech thee, give what we cannot give this day. Help us to give preach in a clear way for the understanding of young and old. And wilt thou bless and sanctify thy own word. Forgive what is sinful, within and without, continually, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 379, stanzas 1 through 6. By Babel's streams, we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. The extra collection at the last song today
will be for the building fund, and not as it is in the bulletin, but for the building fund. Psalter number 379, stanzas 1 through 6.
Thank you.
Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy that was read to you, Habakkuk chapter 3, at the second verse. Habakkuk chapter 3, at the second verse. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. So far the words of our text. Habakkuk's supplication for the church in her affliction. And then first, the moving cause of this supplication. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Second, the substance of this supplication. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. And last, the foundation of this supplication, in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk's supplication for the church in her affliction, first, the moving cause, second, the substance, and third, the foundation of this supplication. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Who is that? It is once again congregation Habakkuk. And it is in that communion that Habakkuk may have with the Lord. We have heard how that he has made his complaint, and how that he has set himself upon the watchtower, that he was waiting for an answer from the Lord, and that he received an answer from the Lord. That the Lord did not put Habakkuk to shame, but he answered him. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. What was that speech about? Do you remember that, boys and girls? That was a speech about the judgments of the Lord that were coming on the children of Israel. Why? Because they had sinned. That the Lord was going to bring the mighty nations that were from far away to judge the children of Israel and to be a rod in his hand, an instrument to chastise the people of the Lord because of their sin. And now Habakkuk, when he hears this, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. What does that mean? That means, congregation, that he believed it. That he believed that speech, that he believed that word of the Lord. How do we know he believed it? Because there was an effect that affected his life. We read that he says that he was afraid. Was that ever so in your life? That you heard that speech and that you became afraid. We do not make ourselves afraid. And when we do not believe that word of the Lord, that it will come to pass, then we are not afraid. No, then there is no fruit, then there is no effect in our life. Fear, that is the fruit of faith. Then we don't say necessarily that we speak here even about saving faith, no. But even now, just in a natural way, you remember the story, boys and girls, of the Egyptians, how that the Lord has warned the Egyptians of the judgments that were coming. And then you read that he that feared the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh sent his servants and his cattle into the houses. But those who did not fear that word of the Lord, they left their servants and their cattle out in that field. Then there was no fear. There was not, they did not believe it. For 120 years, Noah preached to the first world, and there was not one of all that world that believed the word of Noah, that the judgments of the Lord, they were going to come and they were imminent, and that they were soon to follow his words. Not one. And when they did not believe it, then they did not seek out a place of refuge. We read of the sons-in-law of Lot, that Lot was as one that mocked to them. Why? Then he spoke to them, and he said, "Get you out of this city, because the Lord is going to destroy this place." And there was not a fear in their heart. Just as if Noah was mocking, they did not believe it. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Congregation, how is that now with us? How are we born into this world? That is, as unbelievers. Do we not also hear time and again the warnings concerning the judgments that are soon coming upon this world? And when we open our eyes only part way, then we can see all around us that word of God that is soon to be fulfilled. And that the nations are making themselves ripe for these judgments of the Lord. And what is the fruit? Was there ever fear in our heart? Do we believe it? Pharaoh, he heard the word of the Lord by Moses after congregation, 9 plagues. After 9 plagues that the Lord had warned him about, that he saw fulfilled every single one of them. And then Moses, finally, he said to Pharaoh, "This night, all those firstborn shall die." Pharaoh, that is from him that sitteth upon the throne. That is, Pharaoh, your own son, your firstborn son, he shall be dead in the morning. And Pharaoh did not believe it. That unbelief that is in our heart, that is, congregation, worse than the devil, because we can read in God's word, James, he says that the devils believe. They believe. That is, that they believe with that natural faith that is even more than you and I, because the devils, he says, they tremble. So dead is the natural heart of man. And so full of that awful unbelief. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. There is a great difference between a slavish fear and a true childlike fear. Because we read in the end of time that men's hearts are also going to fail them for fear and for looking for those things that are coming on the earth. But that is a fear that paralyzes men. We can read of Naboth that his heart became as a stone. Then he was completely paralyzed by fear. But that filial fear that works so different that it is making men to heed the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances of the Lord. Noah, we read in Hebrews, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that he built an ark to the saving of his house. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Congregation, we don't ask you in this moment about saving faith, no. But we ask you in this moment, is there even in our hearts even something of a natural faith that may make us even in an outward way to fear that name of the Lord? We have heard much of God's speech. We have heard much out of his holy word, of his statutes, of his ordinances, of his threatenings, of his curses, of his judgments, of his invitations, of his promises. God's speech. Is there enough, even of a natural fear, to make us afraid to walk in disobedience in our life to those commandments of the Lord? To fear to walk in the ways of sin, or even to fear to walk in those ways that you think might be sinful. The Lord, he says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. And outwardly, that is even to those that the Lord is looking, that have not that true saving faith. Think about wicked Ahab when he humbled himself and walked softly before the Lord and acknowledged the Lord. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Does the judgment of the Lord upon Achan make us fear enough to keep us, congregation, from stealing? Does the judgment of the Lord upon an Ananias and Sapphira, boys and girls, does that make us fear enough to keep us from lying? Does that judgment of the Lord upon Absalom make us fear enough to keep us from despising our father and our mother? Jehoiakim, he heard that word of the Lord, and what did he do? He cut it with a penknife, we read. He threw it in the fire. There was no fear. How different that was with his father, Josiah, when he heard that word of the Lord. And then he sent those priests to do what? To inquire to inquire of the Lord. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. What did Habakkuk do when he was afraid? Then we read, he prays, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. He prays. You do that too, boys and girls, maybe sometimes when you are afraid that you pray, then that makes us sometimes very earnest. When we pray, yes, there are people that they call themselves atheists in this world, that they do not believe in God, but it is evident, it is different, because when they are coming into a predicament, and when they are fearful, then they are praying unto God. But does that fear cause us also to turn away from our sin and to walk in his ways and to seek that face of the Lord? What was that fear of Habakkuk? That was for the people of the Lord. That was for the terrible judgments that the Lord has said they were coming upon the Lord's people. Did he have to fear for the work of God? Oh no. Must we fear for God's work? Oh, he is. He is the author. He is the finisher of the faith of his children. And that can never, never be lost. The church that is in the hands of the Lord. But still, God's servants sometimes can fear so much. Why? Because of what it seems to be. Because of the direction that the church seems to be going. That it seems as if everything is coming to an end. That it seems like that church that is just languishing away. And Habakkuk hears of that captivity, the chastisement of that people of God, and then he fears that enemy is so strong, that people, they are so weak, and that time, he hears, is going to be a long, long time, many years. And then, oh, what will happen to that remnant that is laying on the heart of Habakkuk? Or will they then be so discouraged? Will they be so despondent? Will they fall into the ways of sin? And will they fall even unto the ways of apostasy? Therefore he prays. And what does he pray? That is our second thought. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Revive, he says. What does that mean? To revive. That is to bring to life again. That is not necessarily of one who is dead, but even one who is very close to death, or one in whom there are no signs of life. That it seems as if they are dead. We read of Jacob's heart that it fainted within him. Oh, then it seemed as if Jacob would swoon. It seemed as if Jacob would die under the noose. So great it was. But then we read how that his spirit revived. Samson, when he was coming so close to death because of that awful thirst, and the Lord gave him to drink out of the hollow of that jaw, then we read how that his spirit revived. Think about that son of the Shunammite. Actually, he did die. And then the Lord brought the soul of that child into him, and that child revived again. So, to revive. Paul speaks about the quickening of man to a new life. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Thus, the soul who had died in paradise as the wage of sin, also that spiritual death, that soul that is receiving a new life from the dead. What is now the great difference between that new spiritual life and our natural life? Well, congregation, that spiritual life, that is a life that will never die. That is an eternal life. What did the Lord Jesus say to Martha? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That is not that natural, but that spiritual life. Thus, there is a great difference between the natural and the spiritual. But though there is also that great difference, yet there is also something that is so much the same between those two lives. And what is that? A similarity. Sometimes there are so few signs of life that it seems like they are dead. Maybe, and we believe so, there are those in our midst that understand what we mean. So few signs of life that it seems that they are dead. There was a time that the Lord has quickened the soul of his children. You cannot deny that. At least you thought that the Lord, He had quickened your soul, that you received life from the dead, that the Lord delivered you out of the Egypt of this world, that the Lord delivered you out of that bondage of the slavery of sin. How was that? Then the Lord has cut you off from the desire for all the things of this world. Oh, ask the people, young people, sometimes. Then they will tell you. Then they would wish that every day that was the Sabbath day, that they could come here to the house of God. What was laying in their heart? Oh, then they were no stranger of David. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" What was laying in the heart of the people? Oh, there was a burden for sin against thee. Thee only have I sinned. Oh, testify of it. Those of you who may know something of it, is that the truth? Then there was a new life, and that life that consumed all your life here below. In that time, all then you thought it would never be different. And God's children, they may have said to you, there will come a different time, but you could not believe it. Sometimes then you saw God's people and you thought, oh, they are so lethargic. That will never be so. And now you experience something that you thought that would never happen. And what is that? That now that you sometimes question whether there really is any life in you at all. Or it seems like it is all gone. It seems like that is of yesterday. That it is all of the past. That it is all just as a dream. And that you cannot give yourself again one hot here. That you cannot give yourself one true desire. That you cannot give yourself to long as you did in the days gone by. That it seems sometimes like your heart that has wholly chosen the side of carnality, the side of the world, the side of your natural heart. That you fear that you have gone as that dog to his vomit again and that sow to the wallowing in her mire. Oh, that is your grief. Oh, you wish that it could be so different. When you remember those days of old and how you came up with such a desire into that house of God. But you cannot change it. You cannot give it to yourself again. Oh, it seems that you are shackled under the bands of that enemy. Oh, what does the bride say? She says, "Draw me. We will run after thee." No, she could not draw herself. And she could not give that desire in her own heart. How was that? For the people of the Lord, when they went into captivity, when they were taken into that land of Babylon, could they forget that old way? Could that people forget their old life? No, they couldn't. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the jaw of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, but that devil, The devil is so busy to mock dead people. To say, sing us now, as you did in days of yore. Sing us now. One of those songs of Zion, you see, where all that has come, what you thought was that work of the Lord, what you have rejoiced in, it is all deceit. What you have spoken about to the ones whom you love with so much certainty and so much assurance. Sing it again. And you have to say, oh, how shall I sing one of those songs of Zion? Then your harps, they are hung upon the willows because of that captivity. Then that people could not deliver themselves out of that captivity. The enemy was too strong. And Habakkuk, he sees that people congregation. It is all for them still future. So he is speaking in the way of prophecy. But Habakkuk is, he sees as it were that people, when they will be in that land of Babylon, in that wretched condition, and it is made known to him what is going to take place. And now for that people, Habakkuk is making his supplication unto the Lord. And what does he say? He says, oh Lord, oh remember that people when they are in that way of great affliction. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Oh, he says, revive it. What is that? Oh, quicken it again. For the second time, because it is just as if they have become dead again. Oh, that enemy that is rejoicing over that people because that land of Israel that is now so desolate. The beasts of the field, they go over that land that was one day so fruitful. Thus, Lord, the enemy that is rejoicing, and there the people, they are sitting in that land of captivity, and they can see no way out of it. The strength of that enemy, that is much too great. And therefore, that people, they are laying in that land of captivity. And what is their thought? What is their thought? In this place we shall die. They cannot see how, even with the promise of the Lord, how it could possibly be that the Lord could ever bring them back to those former days. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Oh, Lord, come again as at the first. And they were days when thou came from thy own side. Because when men were laying dead in trespasses and in sins and cast out in that open field, then that people could do nothing to return to thee. And then it is not only that first quickening, no, but it is also that quickening by renewal. And that has to come from that side of the Lord. Oh, Lord, come again. Come in the midst of the years, in the midst of those 70 long years that seem to that people like that shall never end. Oh, Lord, come. Give that people a token for good. Show that people that thou knowest where they are, that thou knowest what is lying within their heart. Oh, Lord, revive thy work. No, and that is not the work of man, but it is the work of God. Oh, how often do that people not feel, do they not fear that it has never been the work of God, that it has been their own work that they have begun with the Lord. And why? Because of their present condition. Because of how low that they are brought. here we read, how low that work not of men, no, but how low that work of God can come, so that it seems like it is dead, so that it needs to be revived, that is according to the Scripture, and that is not a way that is strange to that true church of God, though it is their own fault, though it is the result of their own sin, of following after the idols of the world, of living that course of vanity. And yet that work of the Lord, oh, if we did not have proof, congregation, that the Lord brought Solomon back again, oh, we had thought that Solomon, he was forever a castaway. But no matter how far that it goes, oh, then that people, they cannot forget. And that condition of their life that becomes for that people their grief. And deep in the heart is that desire that they may return once again unto the Lord. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Revive, O Lord, that life. Revive, O Lord, that love. Revive, O Lord, that zeal. Revive, O Lord, that careful, that tender walk in my life. And forsake me not as I so justly deserve. But that brings us to our last thought. Let us sing Psalter 218. 218 stanzas 1, 5, and 6. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host. Now let thy might appear. Come thou, O God, to save us and restore. We shall be saved when shines thy face once more. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 218. Our last thought, the foundation of this supplication, congregation, not all sin is of the same magnitude. There is a great difference between sin and sin. Eli said to his sons that if one man sin against another, then the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall plead for him? There are sins we can read of in God's word that shall be beaten with few stripes. And then there are sins that shall be beaten with many stripes. And why many stripes? Because they are sins which are against better light, that are against better knowledge, that are against the many blessings that the Lord has poured out upon us. Peter asked the Lord Jesus, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" Now, what was it that Peter could feel, and that we all do feel, that is making us in such a circumstance that it is more and more difficult with every transgression to forgive our brother? What is it that is that every further transgression that is a transgression against the former mercies? Does the guilt of such a person that continues only to increase and increase? The wages of sin in paradise, that was a threefold death. So that included also, and then immediately, that spiritual death. Thus it was actually self-murder. And this life, that spiritual life, that is restored unto God's church in the time of regeneration, that is, by the unspeakable mercies of the Lord, that people are born again, that they receive life from the dead, a hunger and a thirst after that true and that living God, that they begin in a very small and imperfect way here below to desire that God may receive all the glory again. But now in that church, by her slothfulness, by her harlotry, by her disobedience, is bringing that new life nearly to the grave. Who shall plead for that people? Oh, what a guilt. When that church that is bringing that life so low that the evidences of that life, they can hardly be seen anymore. Habakkuk makes supplication for that backslidden church, and that was a godly fear that moved him to that supplication. Oh, that love to God, and that love to that remnant of the Lord, and it was the welfare of that church that was laying upon that heart of Habakkuk. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. But it was now the mercy of God upon which that supplication was founded. Because there could not be any other foundation, or if it was undeserved, the first time the Lord had quickened that people to life, then what is it for that revival? They have destroyed the God-given life in paradise. And oh, if the Lord did not prevent, then that people would destroy that God-given life by grace also for a second time. What sin can compare itself with the sin against the goodness and the grace of God? And with what sin is the Lord more displeased and grieved than with the sin of His own people? Therefore, we understand why Habakkuk, he says, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, if there is anyone that deserves to experience that wrath of God poured out in all its fullness, then it is the true church of God. There is no transgression as their transgression, and there is no guilt as the guilt of the church of God. Oh, in wrath, remember mercy. Upon what does he plead? Upon mercy. Oh, it is only through the merits of that Son of God that shall come into the world. For him, then it shall be wrath without mercy. When that wrath of God that was poured out in all its fullness against that Son of God, and when that cup that did not pass away from him, then he would experience what that wrath of God was in against even his soul, exceeding sorrowful even unto death, when he would experience the banishment from the favor and from the presence of his Father because of the sin of his own people, and so making it possible for the Lord to show mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. In wrath, remember mercy, people of the Lord. The Lord make you ashamed of yourself and bring you again with weeping and with supplications. It is not the fault of the Lord that you must miss that communion and that felt presence of the Lord. No. It is sin. It is sin that makes separation. And the church will experience something, oh, a little bit of that wrath, but only in such a measured way. Why? Because there is no chastisement that you feel that also fathers in a natural way, but there is no chastisement for the father to mete out unto his children that is so grieving unto himself as the hiding of his own face from his children. If the Lord did not desire the communion with his church, then he had never come to deliver his church from that everlasting destruction. But the bowels of that greater Joseph, they are yearning upon that church of God, and that bridegroom, as he is leaving behind some of that myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Open to me my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. All that desire that is coming from the side of God for the blessed communion of the people who are sitting 70 long years in the captivity of Babylon. And when the Lord, then he is leaving something of that dew, of that myrrh behind. Oh, then we read how that the bride, she is revived. And she is going to open again unto her beloved. Oh, may the Lord give it also in the life of his own church in the midst of that captivity. But congregation, Habakkuk, he says, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh, have we not also reason to be afraid? Don't we suffer already so much under the judgments of the Lord in the days that we are living with our children? When the Spirit of the Lord that seems to hold itself so still, oh, where we may we sometimes see one in and amongst us that may truly become a sinner before God. Oh, what is happening in the midst of us as churches, as a denomination, as families? What is happening even to religion in a natural way? Oh, how many children, fathers and mothers, how many children may grow up in our midst with a God-fearing father or with a God-fearing mother? Oh, how many children may yet hear once of the work that the Lord is working with in his own children? How many members, office bearers, how many may really receive that discernment that is so necessary when we think of God's word and the command of the Lord to take forth the precious from the vile? Oh, and how many of our families does the television, does the internet, does the VCR take the place of the reading of the scriptures and the reading of the works of our forefathers, so that there is so much ignorance, even in an outward way? Oh, don't we see? Don't we see how that even outwardly, the judgments of the Lord are upon us when our ways of backsliding, when our lifestyles of worldliness are having an effect even within the church of God? And is there then not reason that we say here with Habakkuk, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid? Oh, may the Lord give that we may receive also this cry. Oh, Lord, revive. Revive as we may read of it and hear of it, even as it was in the days of our forefathers. Oh, Lord, revive. Thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Amen. O Lord, forgive our sins. Wash and cleanse us, convert us, teach us from above, and instruct us out of thy word. Give life from the dead in our souls, and revive thy own work in the midst of the years in wrath. Remember mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 216, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. O Lord, how long against thy people shall thy anger burn, O Lord? On thy enemies, the heathen, be thy indignation poured. Smite the kingdoms that defy thee, calling not upon thy name. They have long devoured thy people, and have swept thy land with flame. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 216. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.